sometimes could not see the deer, his mind would be very agitated. He would become like a miser who, having obtained some riches, had lost them and had then become very unhappy. When the deer was gone, he would be filled with anxiety and would lament due to separation. Thus, he would become illusioned and speak as follows.
So the internal feeling of separation manifests externally as lamentation. Correct, huh? So thus, he would become illusioned and speak as follows. So the moha is symptomized by certain types of behavior. One of the first points is explained about moha, illusion. How do we know we are an illusion? We will feel a great craving for that object, whatever object. Like a small child may crave for a balloon, or he may crave for a tricycle. I remember when we were small kids, you know, once I saw an aeroplane in a shop. Yeah, it's powered by a key. You give a key. Cars also go on keys, correct, no? It was a costly aeroplane. Of course, later on my father got it for me also. But whenever I would go through the shop, you know, you will see it in the showcase, kept, you know. I would immediately point out, say, I want that aeroplane. It was a costly one. So, as a child, you know, you have madness for some toys, or a balloon or things like that, tricycle and things like that. But as you grow up, in young age, very easily boys fall in love with the girls, girls fall in love with the boys at the age of teenage especially. Therefore, the connection between the two should be kept distanced. Both sides people should be alert. The boys side people as well as the girls side people should be alert to keep separation between them in order for moha not to develop. Because if moha develops between, because they watch movies, boy thinks he's a hero and the girl thinks she's a heroine. And they start, you know, building up a relationship and then back and forth calls and everything. And then things become more complicated, you see. So, and then beyond that age, there's a certain age when there is a great moha for money making. Money, 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 money is honey. That causes the moha. And if somebody is making a lot of money and they are very well-to-do, then there is a moha for the land. Purchasing lands and expanding one's property and possessions. Some people have purchased one house, two house, three house, four house, five house. They have dozens of houses, some people have. Or some people purchase multiple lands all over. So in this way, attachment varies from age to age. But in every age group, there is some moha, there is some illusory attachment. And he is giving some symptoms. How do you know you have moha? You will feel separation from those objects. You will feel separation when you are not having it, like a miser who has lost his riches. Like the same Vichitraketu feels when the Harshashoka is gone, correct, no? He is feeling separation. In fact, you will read in Chitraketu, that when the queen went to the garden to pluck some flowers or something and the child was sleeping inside, she was thinking of the child in the background of her mind. And she was feeling separation from the child. She wanted to see the child, pamper the child, play with the child, fondle the child. When you are with the object, you fondle, play, do all those things. When you are away, you feel separation. These are symptoms. Correct, no? And similar symptoms develop spiritually also with Krishna consciousness. And one is away from the darshan of the Lord, and then one is actually developing some eagerness. Oh, I feel like watching the Lord. I want to see the Lord beautifully decorated, dressed. And while one is with the Lord, one may offer wonderful prayers in glorification of Him, remembering His pastimes in Vrindavan with the covered boys, with Yashoda. Either when you are with Bhagavatam or with the Lord, you will have a very affectionate exchanges. And when you are away, you are supposed to feel separation. Correct? Like Madhavendra Puri would look at the clouds in the sky and he would roar loudly because he would remember Lord Krishna. Krishna is called Ganashyam, you know. So that form, simply by looking at the cloud, you can imagine, like peacocks look at the cloud and they dance because the rains are going to come. Similarly, he would look at the cloud and remember Krishna and cry out loudly. Or our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw the Chataka Parvat, which was a sand dune. Immediately what he remembered? He remembered Govardhan. Immediately when he saw that. Similarly, when he went to Jharkhand forest, the thick jungle made him feel that this is only Vrindavan. He was feeling like that when he saw that. So, is it not a mistake committed by a pure devotee that he is looking at a sand dune and thinking it is Govardhan? Or he is looking at an ordinary forest and think, you see Lonavala land, you think this is Vrindavan. If you think like that. But that mistake, apparent mistake committed by the so-called mistake committed by the pure devotee shows his prema. In prema, any place can become Vrindavan. Any mountain can become Govardhan. In fact, my spiritual master was once abroad. There is one place near Mississippi River. By the side of Mississippi River, he was he had put a tent to cook halwa for thousands and thousands of the rainbow type of youths come there. But they come once in a year for a week or so. They all come for sense gratification, the rainbow youths, rainbow type of, they call it rainbow or some festival. So, men, women, they purchase things, there are markets, people, come for enjoyment. But my spiritual master had gone there with a group of devotees, they had gone for preaching there. So, he is writing, when he was a young brahmachari, he was, making halwa in a huge vessel. For thousands of people, you have to make halwa, he was making. So, he said, it was such a place ridden with sense gratification. Wherever you turn around, you see things which are not worthy of seeing, not fit to be seen. But he said, behind me was Mississippi River. I felt that I am in bank of Yamuna in Vrindavan when I saw that Mississippi River, he says. So, and I was singing, Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopichana Vallabha Girivardhari. I was singing that, seeing that the only shelter for me was remembering the river to be like Yamuna, and I was cooking and I was distributing halwa to the people. So, you can see that if one has a proper consciousness, even in such a place like where people come for a great bhoga, like Prabhupada saw Vaikuntha in the hippie land, correct, no? He said, this is not hippie land, this is Vaikuntha, he said, because you all are agreeing to chant Krishna's names. On the other hand, somebody can come to Vrindavan for sense gratification also. They are making Radha Golf, nowadays in Vrindavan, So, there's Radha Golf Court. People are coming to Vrindavan for sense gratification. Prabhupada went to America for giving Krishna. So, you can be in the middle of Bavari and you can find Vaikuntha there. You can be in the middle of Vrindavan and you can be playing golf there. Correct, na? So, therefore, although, so you can see that the symptoms of moha are very similar to the symptoms of attachment to Krishna also, because one is positive, one is negative. Correct, no? Material attachment is negative, spiritual attachment is positive. So, when you have spiritual attachment, one feels separation. Yugaitam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishaitam shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virheename. Says. Similarly, now here he is feeling agitation, anxiety, lamentation and all these things. Read the purport. Not the first line, third line. This is an example of how our attachment can be transferred.
If our attachment is transferred to the Lord's service, we progress. Srila Rupa Goswami prayed to the Lord that he would be as naturally attracted to the Lord's service as young men and young women are naturally attracted to each other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited such attachment to the Lord when he jumped into the ocean or cried at night in separation. However, if our attachment is diverted to material things instead of to the Lord, we will fall down from the spiritual platform.
See, Prabhupada has made one very amazing observation. He says, in this world, many people give up everything. But one thing that no living entity can easily give up is sex life, he says. And he says the hippies, they had given up home, they had given up college, they gave up studies, they gave up so many things, but they were roaming with their girlfriends. That they could not give up, he says, because that is the biggest knot of material attachment. He says that. So, the deep-rooted knot. although they gave up so many things, they could not give up this. You know, he says that. So when a boy and girl come to the young age of 16 or 18 years, they wonder why they feel such an intense attraction for the opposite sex. And Prabhupada says why? Because Radha and Krishna are also in Kishore age of 14, or Krishna is like 14 years, 7 months, and Radharani is like 13 or something like that. So in such a, so these two expansions of the absolute truth, Radha and Krishna, are one, but when they divide into two, there is a very strong attraction for each other. But that is based on pure love. But in the material world, the love is pervertedly reflecting as lust. So there is a very strong bond, there is affinity between man and woman attraction. So Rupa Goswami used that example to illustrate how on the platform of pure love, the devotees are mad after Krishna. Yuvati naam yata yuni, you know yuvata vyatam, mano birabate brahman. He says that that mano abhiram means one who is lord of our mind, lord of our heart. We actually, Prabhupada taught when he went to the West that our Bhakti Yoga teaching is not like the other religious teachings. Generally in religion means people think you go to temple, whatever you want to pray to God and he will give you, or you bow down to him, or if you have some disease, he will cure you. So this kind of religion is 99% in the world, if you see. Prabhupada wanted to tell them, Krishna consciousness is completely different from it. Krishna consciousness is 24 hours consciousness. 24/7, one is thinking of the Lord. One is thinking moment after moment about how, either is thinking, how can I please the Lord, how I can serve the Lord, how I can glorify the Lord, how I can hear about Him. And how I can see Him in every walk of life, how I can see His hand. It's a 24-hour consciousness actually. It is not, you know, actually you will find a boy-girl relationship is also like that, 24-hour thing, correct, no? For example, if a boy joined a college, he became attracted to a girl, you will see that when he goes to the college, first thing he will look for her, she will look for him. They will always make an... for some excuse, they will try to get a chance to meet with each other or speak to each other. Maybe they will talk about the subject. Like there was one boy in my class in my engineering first year. So he always would leave the boy's side and go to the girl's side. Of course, in those days, they were separately sitting. And he would ask the girls, can you please teach me engineering drawing? And the girls would say, why are you coming to us? You know, go to Radhisham, you know, he makes engineering drawing very well. He draws isometric, everything, go and learn from him. No, whatever you are able to teach, you teach me. So everybody understood that this boy is not going to learn from them. He simply wants to associate with them. He simply wants to spend some time with them. So this affinity between man and woman is very easy to see in this world. So this kind of mad absorption is there, romantic affairs are there. But after they get married, they get children, they grow gradually, over a period of time, think life may change. But the young boy, young girl attraction is used, that example used by Rupa Goswami, to show how the attraction between Lord and the devotee is like that attachment. It is, people like, you know, in the modern times, boys, girls are becoming, there is one word used in English called as obsession. You know obsession? They become obsessed. Obsessed means the, you know, the Facebook, so many selfies they take and send by WhatsApp to so many people. And they become centered around one person, who is a dying person, who is an aging person, you know, who is an imperfect person, who is actually with four defects also. And therefore, eventually they lament. Whereas if one makes Krishna that person, one's life is centered around Krishna, then life would be much different. Yes, Prabhu, you had a question? Mayavadi? I was about to give the example of Mayavadi. In what connection I was telling about Mayavadi? When I begin the... last time, or just now, today. Oh, I said I will say about Mayavadi. What was the verse number? Okay. I said I will say something about Mayavadis. No, Mayavadis actually... They don't have higher taste, paramdrishtva. Therefore, Prabhupada says they come down to philanthropic activities. Philanthropic activities or social activities or altruistic activities. Even as devotees, if we focus on... sometimes people think, All the time can you be just chanting and dancing? You know, all the time can you be reading Bhagavatam? You know, this is too much. It's too much for me and too much for others also. So let us divert our activities to some philanthropic activities, altruist activities. One may take a diversion like that. Correct, no? I remember I used to take a program on Tuesday in Jayadeepu's house. One couple were coming there. So only 2-3 weeks they came. And after that they stopped. Little elderly couple, you know. And they were highly educated and degree holders and everything. So Jayadeepu was planned to cultivate them. But they didn't come. Why? Because every Tuesday evening, standing in Chatushringi, they are giving some charity of dresses and food and everything to people. They said, we can't come for the program because this we have this charity program or something. So some people are stuck in this world only. But a devotee of the Lord will never say, how can I be thinking of Krishna 24 hours? How I can be, you know, reading all the time, hearing all the time, speaking all the time, and relishing and chanting all the time. A devotee cannot ask like that. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself lived how a devotee should live. You tell me, did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discuss anything other than Krishna to the devotees? You read all through Chaitanya Charitamrita. 24/7. And not only he discusses because it's a duty. He is mad. He has no other purpose, I mean no other goal. So but Mayavadis, you know, they try to discuss subject matter of Brahma Jyoti, and it is very boring. Because there is no variety, there is no color, there are no exchanges between Lord and the devotee there. It is Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So because it's boring, they have nothing much to discuss. All the time Vedanta they're discussing. Then they get into various social welfare activities. Most of the Mahayavadi organization mathas, if you go even today, you know, sometimes they maintain a goshala, sometimes they have a gurukul, sometimes they have some hospital, they have some school, they have some regular, like Hindu mission hospital, they have Ramakrishna mission, if you see. There, sannyasi in this dress also is sitting as a doctor there. So one time I had gone to Ramakrishna mission hospital. I asked the doctor, sir, you are wearing saffron dress, are you a sannyasi? He said, yes, I am sannyasi, he said. But then he is having stethoscope also. And he was doing this. I said, but sannyasi, you should be preaching dharma. He said, no, I am a karma yogi. I have been karma yogi. So I do my activities also, but I wear this saffron dress. Some of them wear the saffron dress, they have wife also. We don't know what is it. I think they have their own definition of sannyas, I think. So, sadhu sannyas is actually, our focus should be Krishna, and through Krishna we develop higher taste. And then we don't, here what happened, before he developed a higher taste fully, he got distracted, diverted. He was actually on the right track, our Bharat Maharaj. Gradually he got diverted. So, therefore we should not take this matter lightly. Even we may be Hare Krishna devotees wearing tilak, antimala, doing all practices. But if we become distracted or diverted, if we slowly reduce our spiritual activities, slowly increase worldly activities, then slowly we will lose the taste also. You will see that people may not come for Mangalarti. They may not come. But, you know, they may be doing many other activities late night. They may be sitting with email till 11 o'clock. You know, they may be saying, night it got late, I was busy. And in email or internet, they are watching all over the world what is happening. And morning program, they don't come. Because they don't have taste. If you have taste, you will come running. Why will you not come running? So they are losing taste because their object, I am observing some brahmacharis are reading many other books, various other organization books. Of course, first if you put Bhagavatam in the front and very nicely read, chant, that is your mainstream reading. Some side reading we do sometimes to learn certain things. But that should be some small percentage. If you are going to all the time read hundreds of outside books, and some brahmacharis have left the ashram because they have come to know a lot about the outside world. Now, so they want to do something in the outside world more. But if we keep spiritual substance as the core focus of our life, I can easily say one word, which is absorption. Our focus and absorption. Then we will not have any distraction. So here we are finding agitation, anxiety, lamentation. Okay. Now Bharat's mistakes are summarized beautifully in this. You can see that. It's coming there. See here, what is the first mistake? Compassion. Is compassion a mistake? Compassion is not a mistake, misplaced compassion. Then, second, read in the mic.
Forgetfulness. Neglect.
Neglect of what, dear?
Neglect of, willful neglect of one's own spiritual life.
Spiritual life, yeah. And forgetfulness of spiritual duties.
Affection. Attraction. Distraction. Agitation. Anxiety. Lamentation.
See, these are the mistakes of Bharata. See, these are different avatars of moha. Correct, na? Different aspects of moha, you can see. See, so we should be so grateful to the Srimad Bhagavatam commentary of Prabhupada. Because, you know, how little in black and white he has put what are the different aspects of moha, illusion. So where does it begin originally? If you see, it begins with misplaced compassion. Compassion is good, but misplaced compassion is bad. Bharat Maharaj had a misplaced compassion. And so in case I showed compassion, but I am becoming forgetful of Krishna, then I can immediately take action and again become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, further steps, the neglecting spiritual life. See, in this world, the time is flowing so powerfully that sometimes we see days passing, months passing, without chanting some extra rounds, without reading something directly spiritual. Many times, days, months can pass. So this world, the power of current and time, current of time is very, very... Therefore, if you are finding ourselves becoming forgetful of the Lord and neglectful of spiritual duties, then we should immediately throw everything to wind and again get back to spiritual core activities very nicely. Like some devotees, chanting becomes very, very pathetic. Afterward, they jump up and they improve on chanting. They go for some seminar, chanting workshop or something, and then they again... So what are the activities in which you can become lax? Can you tell me some activities? One act I already told you, chanting. Japa becomes pathetic. So pathetic that even while chanting you are thinking, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that, all around. So then you have to improve japa. What else can become pathetic? Yes? Yeah? Reading. Most popular one, what Mataji said. Reading can become pathetic. Sometimes 2 months one has not touched one page of Gita Bhagavatam. Then suddenly one wakes up to realize, I have not read. Because when you don't read, we feel weakness. Spiritual weakness. Just like when Ekadashi day, when you don't eat grains, we feel material weakness. Similarly, when you don't read, we feel spiritual weakness. Not only that, we will find that the mind is tempted and allured by too much eating, too much sleeping and laziness, and all bad qualities will come by not reading regularly. What else? Yes? We can neglect preaching. Yes? Not coming for the programs on time. Partially coming and escaping in between, like that he's saying. Okay. What else? Neglecting services, very true. Yeah. Very easily we may, if imagine for example, you have one service between 3 to 5 and your relatives say that they are coming for evening 4:30 darshan, you know. You can tell them that, you know, 3 to 5 I will finish service and then I will meet my relatives. But one says that, no, I will cancel only the whole service, 3 to 5. Recently I was hearing, Jayadev Prabhu, whenever he cancels his one service, in the same week he replaces it, that service on another day he does it. Correct, no? So that is a sign of sincerity. Correct, no? So in this way, these are some signs we can see becoming neglectful. And then, affection. Affection for the wrong things. Correct, no? And then attraction, distraction. Distraction means alternative attraction. Agitation. That means agitation means gone. Attachment has started. Anxiety. Oh, yeah. These three things, the last three, no? Shoka, moha, bhaya. Agitation means bhaya. I should not lose it. And anxiety is bhaya. And agitation happens due to attachment, moha. And lamentation is shoka. So, shoka moha bhaya. That is the attachment. So, there are 5 A's you can remember. First A is attraction. And second A is attention. Like for example, somebody is attracted to an object, then only they can pay attention to that object. Then that leads to attachment. And fourthly, affection. And fifth, absorption. So, attract. For example, somebody is a little bit attracted to Krishna consciousness in the beginning, then they pay attention. What is attention? They go for weekly programs. Then they gradually increase. And then that attention leads to attachment. Oh, they become attached. Now they cannot leave it. I have to go for every week class, or I want to go for every morning program. They become attached to it. They cannot leave it. And then affection means their heart softens and they become like pagal. They speak emotionally about those things to which they are attached to. If you are attached to, like somebody may talk emotionally about their dog, or they can talk emotionally about God, they can talk emotionally about man or woman. That is affection. And finally what? Absorption means 24 hours they cannot be taken out. They will be in another world only. And that is absorption, fifth stage. So in this way, our attraction to an object gradually becomes deeper and deeper. Yeah, 16th verse, where is it? 16th you read, no? No. Yeah. See, the 16 to 25, it's lamentation and separation. Here Bharat Maharaj is going to, you will see he's speaking. Read it, translation.
Bharat Maharaj would think, "Alas, the deer is now helpless. I am now very unfortunate and my mind is like a cunning hunter, for it always filled with cheating propensities and cruelty. The deer has put its faith in me, just as a good man who has a natural interest in good behavior forgets the misbehavior of a cunning friend and puts his faith in him. Although I have proved faithless, will this deer return and place its faith in me?"
Yeah, see, many times you will see that when the parents come, when the boy joins the ashram and all, sometimes when they come, in the speech you will see they will curse themselves. They will say, "Hamare andar kuch bhakti nahi hai, lekin hamara beta aisa hai." You have seen that? Sometimes they will say, "Wo bada buddhiman hai, aisa hai, aisa." So they are cursing themselves as unintelligent and foolish is also a sign of mamata for their son, for their attachment. Because when you become very attached to someone or something, you self-deprecate yourself. And you praise that person. Like father may come and say, "How can my son join? Dekhi, main toh farmer hoon. And I don't have any qualification, but my son is engineer. Bada buddhiman hai, bada padha likha hai, foreign resident hai. But I am simply a fool. I am a village folk. I am anguta chap. My son is great." They say like that, correct, no? They praise the son more than themselves. That is due to what? A very strong attachment. Here he is telling, "I am like a cunning man, like a cunning hunter." Why? Because the deer has put faith in me and taken shelter of me, but I did not take care of the deer. I have not paid my attention, like a cunning hunter. So that which means I am not worthy of trust, but the deer has put trust in me. Like that he is telling. You understand? No? This is the first. See here, Prabhupada is saying, read the third line. "Due to attachment for the animal, he thought that the animal was as noble and exalted as he himself was." According to the logic, Atman Manyate Jagat, everyone thinks of others according to his own position. Bharat Maharaj felt that the deer had left him due to his negligence, and that due to the animal's noble heart, it would again return. These are all imaginations of Bharat. Why imaginations? The animal actually, if it went to the forest, the animal found a group of, other deers. It would run away with the deer. Correct, no? It will just run away with the deer, other deers. It's not that it's going to take Bharata's affection very seriously. See, this is actually moha. For example, if a boy is living in a lane, imagine in the neighbor's house there is a girl living also there. Whenever he would go to terrace, he will see her studying in her terrace. So he develops a moha for her. Now she is leaving that home along with parents. They are shifting to some other place. They are going now. Is she feeling separation from this boy? But this boy will imagine that. "I think she will miss me very much. You know, whenever I would study, I would look at her from here." Like that he is imagining. Who? No, Bharat. Not the boy. Actually, people, when you become emotional, we become foolish. How many of you agree? Correct, no? Yeah. This is simply emotional imagination. Correct? See, he is feeling attraction for that girl. She doesn't know who is he also. And she may be coming up, maybe to put the clothes for drying or something, or she may be studying with her books and going down. She doesn't know who he is. She doesn't know his name also. She never even looks at him also. She is minding her own business. But this boy is seeing her, and maybe, see, whenever I come to study, she also comes. That means what? That means something. That is whose imagination? It's an imagination. And now she is going to go with parents to another place, leaving this home. They took a rented house, they are going. Now when the lorry is taking all the luggage and everything, she is also going. This fellow is feeling great pain. Oh, you are going or what? You may be feeling pain of separation from me. She is going to go to another place and live happily with the parents in some other place with her friends. She is not concerned about him. But this fellow is imagining due to his own emotional imagination. Similarly, Bharat Maharaja's emotional imagination is what? Oh, this deer has developed affection for... Actually, the deer looks very cute, if you see. Not because he has gone to a beauty parlor and decorated itself. It is God's creation. See, Prabhupada says it's God's creation that a newly born child and a young girl before marriage, they all have an innocent looking face. So that somebody will give them shelter. Correct, no? So this foolish Bharata is imagining that, you know, now the deer has gone to forest, it will come back searching for me. It doesn't search for him, he searches after it. Correct, no? The deer is not going to search after him. Like for example, if a dog, you took it with a leash somewhere, your dog got lost. Is the dog going to search for you? Dog doesn't search for you, you will search. Because you are attached to it. This is actually the nature of moha. One should not imagine too many things which don't exist only. It's just, actually, why I told you this example of boy girl, especially in teenage, these imaginations come in the mind of people. People imagine, you know, people talk, even one word, people take it very seriously. Yeah? In Tamil, there are two words, Kumudam and Hridayam. There are two magazines. So, one man says, you know, he is sending a small boy, kid, please go to that lady, go to that girl and tell her that if she gives her Hridayam magazine, I will give her Kumudam. Like that he says. You know, that's immediately, you know, she takes it very, what do you call it? It's called as in English, I'll tell you, allegorically or something. What she's thinking, Hridayam means what? Heart. Kumudam means? So she is thinking, if I give my heart to him, he will give kumkum for me. Symbolic. That is whose imagination? No, the girl's imagination. Actually, this fellow just wanted to exchange a magazine, because generally in India, what people do, after you read a magazine, you give it to the neighbor's house and you take their magazine and you read it. Correct, no? He just wanted the magazine, but she has imagined more than what there is. This is actually called sentimental emotional imagination. Repeat. This is what we should not do in life. See, if you want to do it, we can give you some concession in doing the same with Krishna. You can do. That can be allowed. I think today Lord is looking at me. If I stand here also, he looks at me. If I stand there also, he looks at me. Why Vrindavan Chandra is looking at me only? If you think like that also, Prabhupada says, Sahajyas are superior to Mayavadis, Prabhupada says. You know? At least, you know, in their imagination, at least Krishna is the center. At least, isn't it? Mayavadis are foolish fellows. Huh? They have given up Krishna only. Isn't it? So if you want to have sentimental, emotional imagination, better do that with Krishna at least. Huh? Don't do it with the people of the world. Huh? Yes? No, you should be emotional with Krishna only. Otherwise, in this way, sentimental, emotional imagination is very dangerous.
If my one aspect of life doesn't have emotions, how can it be transmitted into other aspect of life?
Yeah. So, therefore I told you, the emotion can come as affection for people to whom you should show affection. Correct, no? Say you show affection to mother, father, brother, sister, and use that emotion to elevate them in spiritual life. Similarly, you may show affection to people to whom you are preaching to. But it shouldn't turn into emotional, what I told you? Sentimental, emotional imagination. That you agree, no? Yeah. Am I talking too much or you all agree that such things do exist in this world? How many of you agree? You agree? How many of you feel, Prabhuji, you are talking too much? I don't think so. People have such imagination. I think you have seen some movies and you are talking things. Any of you feel like that? You feel like that? These things actually exist. It is a fact actually, yeah. What all the thing mind can imagine? I told you one story. A 64-year-old man, he was running for jogging in Pune only, he was going for jogging. A 22-year-old girl is jogging, they became jogging partners. So this 22-year-old girl told this man sitting in a park bench, she told him, you look like, you know, one famous Hindi actor, some Dharmendra or something she said. This man immediately did his hair like, really? See, his hair is already white. His hair is white and he's thinking he's like a great movie actor. He's imagining. This is called sentimental. What is that? Sentimental? Emotional imagination. And this fellow is a crorepati. She praised him only to get his. That's all. She extracted 3-4 crores from him. She was a loose woman. She extracted money from him. So, actually, therefore, we should be very firm in this point. We should not get into this wrong track in our life. So, Bharat Maharaj. So, in this way, what is that? Prabhupada says, yeah, Atman Manite Jagat. He's just imagining. Actually, he is chasing after the deer. He is imagining that deer is chasing after him. Or feeling separation from him. Do you think deer is feeling separation from him? No. Actually, deers are attracted to deer jati. They are very happy with other deers. This deer also, if this fellow put it amongst other deers, it will run away. It's not that going to go, Bharatji, why are you leaving me? I want to stay in your ashram only. It won't say like that. That is his own imagination, you see. 17. Alas, is it possible that I shall again see this animal protected by Lord and fearless of tigers and other animals? Shall I again see him wandering in the garden eating soft grass? And then the purport Prabhupada saying, Maharaj Bharat could think only of the deer and how the animal could be protected from all kinds of inauspicious things. From the materialistic point of view, such kind thoughts may be very laudable. But from the spiritual point of view, the king was actually falling from his exalted spiritual position. Unnecessarily became attached to the animal. Thus degrading himself, he would have accepted an animal body. Now we may say, Prabhu, I'm not attached to any dog or pussy cat or anything like that. But we can develop similar kind of overly great attachment to human beings. Men, women, children. We can develop it. So one should not degrade oneself. Rather, one should elevate oneself. Elevate others and elevate oneself also. Especially like Prabhu was asking now. You see, it's very natural in the spiritual world to have a natural affection for Krishna and the other devotees. In the spiritual world, very natural. But in the material world, such attachment, if you place on the other people gradually get older, their bodies vanish. You know? Gradually they get, like we say, whatever that was, dehino asmin yatadehe kaumaram, yavanam, jara, and then mrityu. You know? Therefore, the attachment causes pain in this world because we get separated. So we should have affection and spiritually offering them elevation. That's all we can do in this world. And then he's saying in the 18th verse, oh, deer must have been eaten by a wolf or dog or boars that flock together, the tiger who travels alone. And then he's saying that the sun god is now setting, yet the poor animal who trusted in me since its mother died has not yet returned. So he's telling, oh sun, don't set. You only show my deer as soon as possible. Please don't say it like that he's telling, because if it becomes dark, then the poor creature may become a prey for, you know, animals like a lion or tiger or something like that. And then in 20th verse, 20 to 25 is moha symptoms are coming now, you see. He's saying the deer is exactly like a Rajkumar. Like that he's telling. See, he's saying, apisvet akrita sukritam agatya mam sukayishyati harina rajakumaraha. He's calling it as rajakumaraha. He's telling vividha ruchira darshaniya nija mriga daraka vinodehi asantosham swanam apanudan. You know, he's saying that, when will the deer come in front of me and display its beautiful, tender, childlike activities? He's like a Rajakumar. See, why he is calling the deer Rajakumar? Rajakumar is very handsome. In the next verses, he will say Munikumar. Munikumar is very submissive. So he is calling. Actually, he has given up his Rajakumar there only in the palace and come now. But he is considering the deer as a Rajakumar now. Prabhupada is saying that in the purport. This is called Moha, he says. The king addressed the animal as though it were his son. Out of affection, anyone can be addressed as anything. Prabhupada says, one man got a son who was blind. So he gave him the name Padmalochan. Padma means what? Lotus-eyed one he gave. But that fellow had a blind eyes. So Prabhupada says, anyone can call anyone anything. Because the crow considers its offspring as the most beautiful creature in the whole world. Kakkaika tankonja pungonja, it is said, which means the correct, na? Is the crow baby most beautiful in the whole world? But he considers so. Similarly, this fellow considered deer the most beautiful because of close association. Alas, the small deer while playing with me, seeing me, feigning meditation with closed eyes, would circumambulate me due to anger arising from love. It would fearfully. So what he would do with the pointed soft horns which fell like drops of water. See the moha. He is telling that the deer, sometimes he would be chanting and the deer would come, you know, close to him. And with its, horns. But he is saying the horns of the deer were like droplets of water, so soft. Correct? Is it so soft? Can a horn be so soft? It is just imagination. He's saying like drops of water, he says, which felt like drops of water. Very soft. He was doing like this. And then he would stare at the deer and say, hey! Then the deer would go to a little distance away and he'll become fearful. And he would be sitting and watching. Maybe my master is very angry with me. Like that. So then he would laugh at the deer. Oh dear, you are so foolish. You are thinking that I am angry with you. I was just pretending to be angry with you. Like that. Then the deer would go round and round around him and again come and sit on his lap. So one time Gudakeshpa was giving lecture in Pune. He was telling, this kind of showing anger on the loved one increases the mamta. Mamta means attachment. Yeah. Like sometimes you see in the movies also, your man is trying to follow up a woman and she becomes angry. No, I'm not interested in it. She's going ahead and he's following. Correct, no? Her showing anger, finally you will find that she will also be falling on his path. You've seen that? Similarly, here his showing anger, to the deer, is another sign of deep attachment. He wants to have some rasa with the deer. You understand, no? He wants to have exchange of rasa. Just like Radharani goes into Maan. Correct, no? Her going into Maan is to actually become more affectionate to Krishna later. Correct, no? We have the Maan Mandir. Similarly, this fellow's anger is simply another sign of his attachment only. Actually, he is showing a false anger. You understand, no? So the false anger will increase the mamta even. It will make it more deep-rooted. Therefore, in such material attachments, one should be very honest and straightforward. Don't show false anger. Like if somebody feels that one is going down by connecting with somebody, one should honestly cut off that relationship and say that, see, it is neither good for you nor good for me. You cut off this relation. You do mind your own business, I'll mind my own business. But if you artificially show anger, that will increase attachment even more. And again and again, they will fall back into that falls into bad company. So, 22nd, read it.
When I place...
Like our His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj was telling, in his lecture I heard he was telling, a man's wife was kicking the man with her feet on his forehead. Like that she was kicking him, like this. And the man said, oh my dear good wife, I am worried that my romanch, that means my hair on my head, may pain your lotus feet. He was telling, like that he was telling. This is a Kalidasa's poem, he was telling. So that goes to show how much the man is in moha with his wife. She is kicking on his head like this, and he is worried that his hair will act like thorns and prick her lotus feet, like that. Huh? So this is Maharaj was telling this example. So such a kind of foolish talk arises out of material attachment, he was telling. Yeah, next, 20 seconds.
When I placed all the sacrificial ingredients on the kusha grass, the deer, when playing, would touch the grass with its teeth and thus pollute it. When I chastised the deer by pushing it away, it would immediately become fearful and sit down motionless, exactly like a son of a saintly person.
Yeah, here he calling the deer saintly person. So Rishi Kumari ki Sushilata, Raj Kumari ki Sundarata. I told you both are very attractive. So he's calling him both. Raj Kumari earlier he called him, now he's calling. And Rishi Kumari is calling him. And then he's asking, now it has gone to a great height now. In 23rd verse, see what he says. Kim va are acharitam tapas tapasvinyanaya yad iyam avani savinaya krishna sara tanaya tanutara subhaga shivatamakara kurapada. Now read the translation.
After speaking like a madman in this way, Maharaj Bharat got up and went outside. Seeing the footprints of the deer on the ground, he praised the footprints out of love, saying, O unfortunate Bharat, your austerities and penances are very insignificant compared to the penance and austerity undergone by this earth planet. Due to the earth's severe penances, the footprints of this deer, which are small, beautiful, most auspicious and soft, are imprinted on the surface of this fortunate planet. This series of footprints show a person like me, who am bereaved due to loss of the deer, how the animal has passed through the forest and how I can regain my lost wealth. By these footprints, this land has become a proper place for Brahmanas who desire heavenly planets or liberation to execute sacrifices to the demigods.
Hey, my Lord, this is a height, no? This is the height of moha, you can see that. See, he is telling that the deer has put his footprints and walked in the forest. So the earth has become very dhanya, fortunate. And he says, Bharat, you are not that fortunate because deer did not keep the foot on your body. Because earlier it was sitting in your body, sitting on your shoulder, on your head and everything. Now it has gone away. So you are not dhanya, whereas the bhumi is dhanya because it has put its foot on bhumi, like that he is telling. So you find when gopis, after Krishna disappears from the rasa dance, the gopis are searching for Krishna. Krishna's footprints they are searching. The gopis are asking the plants, oh plants, did you see in which way Krishna walked? And they are asking the deers and the other animals in the forest. So their madness is greatly glorified in the Bhagavatam. Similarly, our drama is also asking the animals and the trees about, did they find who took away Sita? You know, in great transcendental madness, they are asking about the loved one being separated like that. Whereas here you find this fellow, his whole absorption has gone into the deer and he is glorifying the lotus footprints of the deer. First of all, is it lotus footprint of a deer? A deer is a conditioned soul, ordinary animal living in the forest who has no sense of what is soul, what is God, what is any relationship. The deer is not even a devotee. It is ordinary conditioned soul, and he is giving respect beyond compare for the deer because of material attachment. See, some of you may be thinking, why this this fellow such a moha is explained here in Bhagavatam? How can anybody become so mohit, so much illusioned? Actually, Bhagavatam is like mother. It is Sakshat Krishna. So we should know that the most enlightened person can become most foolish in this world. Yata tohyapi kaunteya purushasya vipaschitah indriyani pramathini haranti prasabham manaha. He says, you know, a vipaschit person can become the most foolish. Vipaschit means a jnani who has the clarity of sight. He can see everything. Vishwamitra performed penance for how long? 60,000 years. After that he became foolish. So a vipaschit jnani can be bewildered in this world. So one should not be very proud of one's enlightenment or one's elevated position. Therefore, once Prabhupada said, I can never fall down, he told in one lecture. And after that he was standing in front of the deities and praying to Srimati Radharani that may I never fall down. So when devotee asked Prabhupada, just now he told Prabhupada you can never fall down, then why are you praying like this? And Prabhupada said, because I am praying to Radharani like this, therefore I can say like that, he said. So a devotee of the Lord means a devotee should always pray that let the moha of this world not distract me. Because the illusion of this world is a temporary phenomenon, like the shining lightning just appears and vanishes. In this world, the moha, it appears for a short time. It's like glitter and glamour. Here today and gone tomorrow. The attractions are like that. The beautiful people who are beautiful today, beautiful and tender and slim and attractive, after some years they are stout and ugly, and the whole thing changes. Prabhupada says when one eats food and passes lot of stool, the beauty is vanished. He says in that story of liquid beauty. He says, so one should not become allured by the temporary forms of this world, which drive one mad. And then one may lose the goal of life. Or one makes that moha object itself the goal of life. People are revolving. See, all of us, we have to revolve around someone, something in this world. You find children are revolving around toys. Young boys are revolving around young girls. Some people are revolving around money. Some people are revolving around the world or around America. Some people are revolving around IT company. Isn't it? So we have to revolve around Radha Vandana Chandra. We are only revolving once a day, three times. Isn't it? And every moment we have to revolve around them. So if our consciousness revolves around Radha Vandana Chandra, and studying the name, form, qualities, pastimes, activities, we are saved actually. Buddhi should be offered to the lotus feet. Then we can be saved from the illusory attractions of this world. Otherwise, one can be pinned down on a material plane, one cannot escape. Just see how much one can degrade. Prabhupada is saying here. And then 24th verse, read the translation.
Maharaj Bharat continued to speak like a madman.
Then he's talking about the moon. Now he talked about the sun. Can you please wait till my deer comes, and all that he spoke. Now he's speaking to the moon. Oh moon, are you kind upon my deer? Knowing that it has strayed from home and has become motherless, I think, you are giving my deer shelter near yourself just to protect it from the fearful attacks of a lion. Like that he's asking the moon. And he's telling that the next verse is saying 25, the moon is suddenly splashing its shining nectar upon me, just as a friend throws water on another friend who has a high fever. That means he's saying moon is very cooling. So the cooling moon is actually cooling down my tap in my heart for the deer. Like that he's thinking. He's just imagining here also. He's talking about the moon. The dear sun was so submissive and dear to me that due to its separation, I am feeling separation from my own sun. He was having a burning fever of separation. These are actually symptoms of separation. In both material separation and spiritual separation, there is a great heat, a fever type of thing involved. Tap, you say, no? Yeah. So this is a climax situation in which he went. Now the 26 to 28 is very important. Bharata takes birth as a deer in the next life. That is explained. See, in that verse, Sanskrit verse, it said, evam agatamana. See, agatamana means very difficult to achieve. Manaharataha, manorataha. Akula hridaya mrigadaraka avasena sva arabdha karmana yoga arambanataha vibramshitaha. He fell down. Yoga tapasaha, from the yogic situation. Bhagavat aradhana lakshanat, from the activities of devotional service to the Supreme Lord. From that he fell down, from that position. So read this thing and the translation.
Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, in this way, Bharat Maharaj was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire which was manifest in the form of the deep, on the form of the deer. Due to the fruitive results of his past deeds, he fell down from mystic yoga, austerity and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it were not due to his past fruitive activity, how could he have been attracted to the deer after giving up the association of his own son and family, considering them stumbling blocks on the path of spiritual life? How could he show such uncontrollable affection for a deer? This was definitely due to his past karma. The king was so engrossed in petting and maintaining the deer that he fell down from his spiritual activities. In due course of time, insurmountable death, which is compared to a venomous snake that enters the hole created by a mouse, situated itself before him."
Just like, you know, a rat goes to some house and thinks, "Abhi naya business kholna hai is ghar mein," is thinking, and suddenly a snake comes and devours him from behind. Like that, the death devours him. So here you will find one amazing thing. Prabhupada is written in translation. This is definitely due to his some karma of the past. Like we had seen one devotee in those days used to come to Pune. He was giving very good lectures and all, and we used to be very enlightened. He was a grihastha devotee from Bombay. Jehu temple, connected to Jehu temple, he used to come here. At one point of time, he had gone to Vrindavan and became attracted to some Russian Baba or something and got deviated. Then I asked Gudakesh Prabhu, that, "Oh, he was such a powerful devotee, very nice devotee, and very inspiring lectures he used to give. We are missing him very much." I was personally very, very inspired by him. "Why it happened?" I asked. So he said, "Oh, we cannot comment about great devotees. Only Lord knows about people." And he said, "Such fall downs may happen sometimes due to mahad aparad, aparad to some great soul, or maybe due to some previous life influence, like that." So here also the word is mentioned that if we have got some bad account in the past, so because of which we may be subjected to a tempting situation, we may be put. So the previous life account cannot make you fall down. That is not possible. But it will put you in tempting situations. Correct, no? Because if you had some desire for certain things in the past, which are wrong desires, now those wrong desires will be fulfilled now, in case you deserve it. But one should not accept them. Correct, no? One should not be tempted by them. So in this way, the past life bank account may sometimes create trouble for us now, at the current moment. Like the sinful thoughts and desires which arise in our mind are definitely due to our past, bad past. Correct, no? So now what should a devotee do? Prabhupada says two very interesting things. Prabhupada says a devotee should observe one's mind where the pious and sinful thoughts surface. They come, they surface, they exist for some time and they vanish. And they will die their own death if you don't attend to them. But if you attend to them, they'll get reinforced. Like, you know, as soon as the thoughts rise, you know, these children play one game, you have seen that, you know, different vegetables come in the video, in the top, you have to cut them. You've seen that? You've seen that? It keeps rising like different big vegetables, small vegetables, fruits also, they come like this. Similarly, our desires come. For example, if a pious desire impels you to do good activities now, as soon as it comes, you should take advantage and do some activity by which you reinforce piety. You will reinforce good nature. And when the black balls come up, they come to surface, you should watch it. Keep chup-chup. Watching it, that's all. If you don't touch them, don't attend to them, gradually they will not arise only. Because they will be driven away. So this is very challenging because imagine white balls are coming, black balls are coming. You have to capture white balls. By mistake, you should not capture the black balls. You understand, no? So, in this way, a devotee can surpass the past material tendencies and bad propensities which come by not reinforcing them again. Another thing Prabhupada says, the punishments that a devotee is supposed to get due to the previous life mistakes, they are all offered to a devotee in the dream, Prabhupada says. Like any of you had a very bad nightmare or a deadly dream, that whole night you don't remember sleeping properly and the next day morning your eyes were bloodshot. Anybody had experience like that? Anybody? Yeah. Actually, there are so many different dreams that we may get. Sometimes very complicated dreams. So the purpose is devotees can also get such dreams because they are actually punishments to the previous bad acts. But Lord thinks, why to give punishment on a physical body? Lord feels. Because now you have become a devotee already. So the Lord gives through the dreams and this way he vanquishes your account. Like that he says. So, but here one amazing thing is, Prabhupada in the purport will not accept this point that a devotee's past bad karma can affect the present life. He will not agree. You will see that. Read it. Read the purport, you will see.
As will be seen in later verses, Bharat Maharaj at the time of death would be forced to accept the body of a deer due to his attraction to the deer. In this regard, a question may be raised. How can a devotee be affected by his past misconduct and vicious activities? In Brahma Samhita, it is said, Karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti bhajana. For those engaged in devotional service, bhakti bhajana, the results, the past deeds are indemnified. According to this, Bharat Maharaj could not be punished for his past misdeeds. The conclusion must be that Maharaj Bharat purposefully became over-addicted to the deer and neglected his spiritual advancement. To immediately rectify his mistake for a short time, he was awarded the body of a deer. This was just to increase his desire for mature devotional service. Although Bharat Maharaj was awarded the body of an animal, he did not forget what previously happened due to his purposeful mistake. He was very anxious to get out of his dear body, and this indicates that his affection for devotional service was intensified. So much so that he was quickly to attain perfection in a Brahmana body in the next life. It is with this conviction that we declare in our Back to Godhead magazine that devotees like the Goswamis living in Vrindavana who purposefully commit some sinful activity are born in the bodies of dogs, monkeys and tortoises in that holy land. Thus, they take on these lower life forms for a short while, and after they give up those animal bodies, they are again promoted to the spiritual world. Such punishment is only for a short period, and it is not due to past karma. It may appear to be due to past karma, but it is offered to rectify the devotee and bring him to pure devotional service.
Very important purport. See, if it was normal fall down for Bharat Maharaj due to some aparadha or something like that, then he would have gone back to his wife and sons. He didn't do that. Rather, you find that when he became a deer, his attraction to Lord became more intensified. And when he became Bharat Maharaj, it became even more intensified. Therefore, it is not a normal fall down. Rather, it is impelled by the Lord's desire. Like that we can understand. Correct, no? See, if our taste for devotional service is taken away, that means it's fall down. Due to, you know, our own karma, our past. And that we see, correct, no? Like somebody comes to devotional service, they become little sincere, serious, they advance, they do a lot of nice services. At a certain point of time, they fall down. When they fall down, they lose taste for Krishna consciousness and they become very spirited in material world. That means it's a fall down. That's considered as a fall down. Because now they have left the company of devotees, they have stopped chanting, they have started growing mustache, beard and, you know, working in the outside world, spirited to make money and, you know, enjoy material life, and they have no inclination for, you know, becoming, and they have no touch with Krishna at all. That is actually a fall down. On the contrary, Bharat Maharaj fall, if you see, you know, Lord was observing Bharat that he is becoming purposefully over-addicted to pampering with the deer and neglecting his spiritual duties. Although he had intelligence, he had studied scriptures, you know, he had come to forest and renounced the world, everything, still here is purposeful over-addiction, he is saying. Lord saw that. The Lord wanted to give him a slap to shake him up and wake him up. Therefore, it is the will of the Lord that he gave him a body of a deer only for a short time. And in the deer's body also, you will read in the next chapter, how the deer became, the deer was weeping actually. Oh, alas, alas, I was Bharat before. And because I became over addicted to a deer, I became a deer now. Now he refused to associate with other deers. And he left their company, he renounced the home, and he came to Palahashrama, and he was sitting behind the bushes and hearing the lectures given by the saintly persons there, many saints and sages. And he was also an austere deer. He ate only dry leaves. And he was living in the Palashrama. You will read that. Of course, he didn't go to the saints and say, please take care of me. He knew that already I fell down before. Now I won't disturb the saints. I will sit behind. And he was sitting behind the bushes. But he heard the glories of the Lord, hearing from them. And he was waiting for the deer's body to be finished. This is one big problem with this material body. When we have material body, years together, every day you have to get up in the morning, do all your morning duties, brush the teeth, take a bath, you know, eat prasad, cut your mustache, cut your beard, cut the nail, you know, you have to wash the clothes, dress up, and you have to go bring money, and you have to, and so much the body demands, correct, no? So in every body, material body, if you have, material body has 9 holes, which is emanating all bad substances, so it has to be cleansed repeatedly, again and again. So the maintenance of the laborious material body is a part of our life in this world. But we should try to do it as quickly as possible and spend our maximum time in spiritual elevation, of the soul's elevation. We should do that. So that's what the deer did. Why he ate dry leaves, simple leaves? He did not roam around with the other deer friends. Let us find out, you know, where are the green leaves available? Let us eat very nice. No, he thought just eat dry leaves and sit and just, you know, eat simple food. So he was like a sage, a deer sage. He was living like that. Then he got a Brahmana body, Jadabratha's body, the next life. So this is a very important purport. Prabhupada, how beautifully. See, the symptoms of moha are given. Earlier I told you also about moha. See, the first symptom he's saying, what is it? He's calling deer?
Deer as prince. Feigning meditation. Enjoying deer's.
Feigning meditation means what? He would sit with his eyes closed and the deer would be sitting there. He would be just sitting like this and with one eye he'll be watching the deer. He'll be laughing also. That means, you know, he'll be pretending to be meditating so that he would be checking whether the deer knows I am pretending. I mean, let the deer think that I am meditating and let me see what he does. That means his meditation was to increase his playful behavior with the deer and not to remember Lord Vasudev. Correct, no? So this is all very deep sense of moha. See, earlier the words were used like forgetfulness, lamentation, correct, anxiety. But now the symptoms are given. Yeah.
Enjoying deer's angry love. Deer's son of a saint. Praising deer's footprints. Glorifying moon for protecting deer. Deer, submissive son. Burning fever of separation.
All these are practical external symptoms of moha. Correct, no? So nice it is, no? So actually the internal, the state of mind and heart is explained earlier. And here the external manifest symptoms are explained here. So in case somebody else was there in the forest, do you think they can observe the symptoms? What do you think? They can observe it, correct, no? Therefore, if any devotee is undergoing moha, there are internal symptoms, there are external symptoms. And internal symptoms are known to whom? The individual. They can know. They are feeling shoka, moha, bhaya, you know, and forgetfulness. What else you remember earlier? Compassion. You know, compassion, forgetfulness, and then? Neglecting spiritual duties. That means, you know, showing lack of interest in the mind. Mind also, you don't like spiritual activities much, you know. You develop you think it's boring, actually. And then?
Attraction for deer.
Attraction for deer.
Distraction.
And then shoka, moha, bhaya, and all this. So these things are felt by the individual. Others may not know it, correct, no? Actually, it's difficult to know for others unless they see visible symptoms. Now, for example, if there's a devotee, how do you know that the devotee, you know, is not feeling taste in spiritual life, unless he shows some external symptoms. He is not coming for morning program. He doesn't come for the class. He never opens Prabhupada books and reads. Whether he completes his chanting, God knows. You don't find him in chanting regularly. So these are manifest symptoms. Similarly, here he is giving manifest symptoms externally. He's calling deer Rajakumar, Manikumar, and all that, feigning meditation. You know, having angry love on the deer and all these things. You see? Yeah? Ajamil actually was a pious fellow, and he had gone to forest and seen a bad sight, and he fell down. Although he remembered some shlokas in theoretically, you know, he fell. And one thing is, Ajamila got into extreme sinful activity with a prostitute, begetting 10 children in her womb, and then holy name delivered him. So the highlight in Ajamila's pastime is holy name. Actually, you will see that pastime only beginning with one shloka. Sakranmana Krishna Padaravinda Yor Niveshitam Yad Gunaragi Airiha Nateyamam Pashabratascha Tadbhatan Swapne Pipashyanti Hichirna Nishkrita. This verse Sukadeva Goswami says that even in Swapna, devotees of the Lord will not see Yamadutas because they are chanting the holy name. And then he said, to tell you the power of the chanting of the holy name, I will tell you Ajamila Upakhyan. Like that he tells. Whereas in Bharat Maharaj's pastime, here the warning given to us to avoid misplaced compassion. Yeah, compassion is good and compassion is wanted and compassion is compulsory for any saintly person. You know the story of that saint who was delivering that scorpion. The scorpion would sting him again and again and he would drop it. Again it will pick it up. So somebody asked him, why are you delivering the scorpion? He said, scorpion's dharma is to bite and our sadhu dharma is to save. So in the same manner, sadhu dharma is to show compassion. But misplaced compassion is what is condemned in this verse. Somebody asked me, Prabhuji, how do you differentiate between real compassion and misplaced compassion? I told in the previous class that if he wanted to show compassion to a very, very small, newly born deer, you know, bringing it to his ashram and taking care was not inappropriate. But after it grows to a certain stage, you should leave it with the other deers so that it runs away with other deers and he does his own bhajan. That was appropriate, which he didn't do. Therefore, it is misplaced compassion, number one. Number two, not only he kept it tied to his ashram and minding his own spiritual business, but instead of interacting in his heart with Lord Vasudev Krishna, he was interacting more and more with the deer. Correct, no? Similarly, in this world also, one is a man, a woman and the children and the parents. One has to actually live out one's life in a family. For example, there are 10, 20 members in a family. But one should increase one's reciprocation with the Supreme Lord, and having obtained the bhakti, then interaction with others becomes very meaningful interaction. Otherwise, if you see a typical Sunday in any house in India, if you see, I remember, I've seen in South India, in the morning people get up very late from the bed. Before 8 or 9 o'clock, they don't get up. And then they're reading newspaper, they're reading supplements, they're watching movie in a TV, they're, you know, eating, crunching potato chips, spending all day. So you will find that the mental attachment is more and more binding. So the pastime of Bharat Maharaj teaches us that the misplaced compassion should be avoided if one wants to save oneself. That is the... So each pastime has its highlight. Yeah. As a deer, why he didn't go back to Godhead?
There he was given so much sinful food, but still, that very life went back.
The deer was hardly. Yeah. Our Ajamila, you are saying? No, Ajamila also did his homework. Ajamila, 12 years, he was in Haridwar, practiced devotion service. Similarly, Bharat Maharaj practiced devotion service as Bharat, Jarabharat. Correct, no? Both of them had to practice. Oh, he's saying two lives. Why? Probably to give him chance to repent and become more careful. Correct? No? Generally in this world, we also get a slap, we become a little woken up. You know, when we have some wrong tendencies, you get some little punishment. Sometimes two things are given also in our counseling guidance also. Sometimes one small punishment also is given, which means you are deprived of certain things, you know, certain privileges, certain freedom and everything. And also there is a positive activity is given to you. You know. No, he's asking why Ajamila was not punished. Actually, I was feeling that Yamadutas, you know, showing their faces in front of him, plus throwing the Yamapash Almost he was pulled out. And when Yamadutas and Vishnudutas were having a debate, his life was at stake. Actually, there was no assurance that he will be saved. Can you imagine if somebody is standing with a weapon to cut your head and another fellow is trying to defend you and you are not sure who is more powerful? So, do you think you can be peaceful? So it must have been a very tough time for him. So, but he got a very solid learning through that. And then he reformed when he went. One thing we should know, Lord knows what is best for everyone. And his, why did Lord give Bharat Maharaj deer? So that we can understand the seriousness of the matter. Imagine if Lord told Bharat, now, don't become a deer now because you are already a wonderful devotee. Now you reform, now the deer has died now, so you go and become a devotee. He could have done that. But actually he's becoming a deer and then becoming Jalabharat taught a very good lesson for us. That we also have a chance to get another material body if we have material absorption. That and he is saying, maybe he took sannyas and went to forest, and in sannyas if you do it, that there is a more grave mistake. It's like a policeman stealing a bank or something, robbing a bank. So therefore he was made to become a deer, he is asking. Actually, one thing in Bhagavatam, we should not speculate anything. whatever is said, we have to say only that. Correct, no? So you are doing a doctorate, I think, correct? You are doing a doctorate. Therefore, so keep your speculation in material subjects only. Spiritual subject, I can only repeat what Bhagavatam says. See? Read this. Where is it? Here.
How can a devotee be affected by his past misconduct and vicious activities? Bharata purposefully became over-addicted to deer and neglected his spiritual advancement.
That is the main point. See how stoutly it's put up. So, this is a lesson we learned. We should not purposefully become over-addicted. See, we need a little explanation to this and then we will conclude. See, purposefully becoming over-addicted means what? Jaan bujh kar paap karna. What offense it is? Which offense it is? Seventh offense. Yeah. This is actually purposefully becoming over-addicted. That means, in the seventh offense, one thinks that anyway, I am chanting the holy name. Thoda bahut idhar udhar kuch galati ho jayega to no problem. And the holy name will take care to think like that. It's very great offense. It's very sinful to think like that. Actually, the holy name of the Lord is not different from Lord himself. So it's very, very compassionate. More compassionate than Lord also. So when Lord, when holy name is so compassionately, trusting us and giving us opportunity to be delivered from this world. It is like one example Urmila Mataji had given in her explanation of seventh offense. It's like some innocent child, you exploit the child. For example, if somebody kills an innocent child, cow killing is also like that. Killing a cow. Cow is very innocent and we are killing the cow. Seventh offense is like that. The holy name is completely pure. It is coming to actually help us. It's coming to deliver us. It is coming to save us. And we are exploiting and abusing the holy name. So that's very inappropriate. So similarly, the purposefully becoming over-addicted to deer. Actually, why we do that? We all can observe in our own system certain bad habits we have. But these bad habits may become aggravated when we are careless in spiritual life, neglectful, forgetful, and because of which we gradually, little by little, we degrade. Therefore, one of the things progressive devotee can do is to be watchful of one's nature, of one's mind. As our Rishabhadev's chapter we studied, Na kuryat karhichit sakhyam. He says, never make friendship with this devilish mind. And never put trust in the mind. Put trust in the devotees. Put trust in the Lord. Put trust in the scriptures. And never take mind very cheaply, casually. Be always alert. And if mind shows certain bad symptoms of bad habits. See, the bad habits first appear in the mind and then they come in the actions. So one should observe the mind and then he says that one should take a corrective action. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, today is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Ekadashi to Ekadashi, one should monitor one's progress. So one devotee came to me and said, Prabhuji, how can anybody progress in 15 days? It's a very short time. In 15 years, I have not made so much progress. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, every 15 days, you should check progress. That means, you know, we are very unconscious, isn't it? Actually, 15 days means one can see, 15 days ago, how was my chanting? How was my reading? How was my association with devotees? How was my speech? How was my behavior? How is my attitude towards Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas and towards the deities? How is my eating habit? How is my Atyahara, Prayasa, Prajalpa, Niyamagraha, Janasangatcha, Lavalimcha, Shadbir, Bhakti Rivinashyati? And how is my Vachavegam, Manasavegam, Krodhavegam, Jihvavegam, Udharevam, Pastavegam? Are these two into 6, 12 items controlled? Are they under control? How is my Utsaha, Nishya, Dairya, Tathagun, Pravatana, Sangatya, Agat, Satovrite? These 6 things. So these 18 items of NOI can be observed every 15 days. We can see it, keep a track. And in this way, we can be alert and we can avoid any purposeful over-addiction. Actually, in this purposeful over-addiction, we can tell so many stories of how people had a purposeful over-addiction due to which they fell down. But the fall begins in a very small way. It is not very big. Like Paramahansa Rajnath Maharaj was telling in one lecture, that Maya for devotees does not come from the front door. She comes from the back door. The same point is one as Bhakti Tirtha Swami made in Bombay. 10 days he gave lectures. Almost 10, 15 lectures he gave. So he was telling, because Maya doesn't come in the front door. Why? Devotees already closed the front door for Maya. Already. They have told Maya, no, we don't want you. We are following 4 regs. We don't need you. We want only Krishna's shelter. Then Maya is tapping, tok, tok, tok. Till they are not opening the door. Then she will understand, a serious devotee. Oh, serious devotee. So she will go from behind. So she will come in another way for devotees from behind. One story in Sri Vaishnava literature, there was some Viparanarayan in South India who had a garden, who was a very genuine devotee, very sincere devotee, a very high character. So he had a goshala to be maintained. So he take care of the goshala and maintain tulasi, took care of the garden with nice flowers, offered flowers to Vishnu, and very simple pujari, led a very pure life going on. One day two sisters were walking on the road. I don't remember, the younger sister was Devadevi. Elder sister, I don't remember her name, younger one I am telling. So the elder sister was telling the younger sister, see, look at this Viparanarayan, he's a very serious devotee. You know, he has no distraction in life. He's so fixed up in the feet of Lord Vishnu. So Devadevi said, who said he's so fixed? You know, in this world there is nobody who will not fall for my beauty. She said, and wait and watch what I do. So then this Devadevi went to that garden and she begged him for service. Can I serve in this garden? And he told her, okay, if you want, you can cut the grass and feed it to the cows. So she was doing that, and she was also planting some flower plants and all that she was doing. So and the days were passing, and Viparanarayan was very simple. So he was doing his duties also. On and off he would get to meet her and some talk to her a few minutes. But life was going. One day, the rainy season came and it was heavy rains. So Devadevi got completely drenched in her clothes. And then Viparanarayan saw her situation. And then he told her, hey, rains are very heavy. Come here, come here, come into the cottage. So she came to the shed. In the shed, he looked at her and he got some vikar in the mind. He got some bad thoughts. So when he got some bad thoughts and expressed his affection to her, and she also expressed affection, and then in this way, she evoked some kind of love affair with him. And within the next few days, this fellow had become mad after her, because she also showed her affection to him. So now, after making him mad, she left him and went to her sister to tell her sister, just see, now this fellow is no more a steady devotee. He is no more a stable devotee. Just see, he is not mad after Krishna, he is mad after me now. So, like that she said. So, the Viparanarayan used to take care of Lord Vishnu in a particular temple, you know, near which this garden was there. So, he was the pujari there. So, what happened? Lord Vishnu was observing this. And Lord Vishnu was very unhappy with the movements of Viparanarayan. And Lakshmi is also watching all this. Now, suddenly what happened? He wanted to go to Devadevi's house and call her. He wanted to meet her. So he went and battered the door. You know, somebody opened the door from inside. He said, I want to meet her. You know, they said, no, you cannot, you cannot meet her. She's very busy. No, he was very, very adamant. So, Devadevi very briefly met him. In the meantime, what happened? Some necklace of Lord Vishnu was missing in the temple. And then immediately the king sent his men to find out where is the necklace, who has stolen everything. So somebody had observed that nowadays Viprinarayan goes to Devadevi's house regularly. He goes to see her and come. So they saw, they reported to the king and the ministers. And the minister sent some men to the Devadevi's house. And sure enough, the necklace was found there. And immediately the king's men arrested Viprinarayan and put him behind the bars. And Goddess Lakshmi was watching this. She became very unhappy. She said, oh Lord, this Viprinarayan has done so much service for you. Why do you harass him like this? You know, you only arranged this necklace to be put in the house of Devadevi through some agent. And now for that Viprinarayan is being punished. So Lakshmi said, first of all, I am sad that he became tempted by this lady. Secondly, I am sad that you have put him behind the bars. Is it the fruit of someone serving you? All this is because Lakshmi has a very soft heart. She cannot tolerate devotees being punished. Then Narayana said, no, it's a very short-term punishment only. He said, it's a short-term punishment. This fellow has to wake up. So in the jail, Viprinarayan was crying tears and lamenting, beating on his head. What a fool I have been. I could have become a pure devotee of Lord Narayana. Now I became tempted by this lady. And also, they have alleged that I have stolen the necklace of Lord Vishnu. How can I take Vishnu's necklace and give it to your lady? I think it is Lord Vishnu himself has taken it on himself and he has punished me like this. Otherwise, who in this world can do such a miracle? Lord Vishnu has put his necklace in her place in order to teach me a good lesson. Never ever I will be distracted in my life. Like that he made a resolve in the jail. Then when he was, then the king understood how this necklace came to the house of Devadevi, because Devadevi was not a lady of good character. She, because of which some thief had stolen from the temple and had taken it to Devadevi's house to meet Devadevi, and in response to her service to him, he wanted to give the necklace. So he had kept the necklace and she didn't even know where it was from. And for that, who was arrested? Viprinarayan was arrested for that. So now Viprinarayan learnt a lesson in his life. When he came out of the jail, again he went back to the temple and became a fixed up devotee, never to return back to any bad habits. So in this way, why I told you this story, here is an example of Viprinarayan, who was very pure hearted. But even a pure hearted, simple man of good character in this world can become tempted because of his old vasanas sometimes. He was a simple person. But then when he became attracted to her, either he should properly marry her and get married and settle as a grihastha or something like that. But keeping a promiscuous connection with her was inappropriate. Correct? No? So already Lord Vishnu was unhappy. But then when he started going to her house, that is called purposeful vower addiction. Correct? No? First of all, suddenly on a rainy day, he got tempted by her and spoke some loose sentimental words to her. That may be unpremeditated fall down. But then to regularly exchange affection with her, keep touch with her and visiting her home is a very serious matter. Correct, no? Then he became punishable by the Lord. So Lord himself punished Viprinarayan and Lord himself took him back to his lotus feet. Therefore, it is actually arranged by the will of the Lord. Correct, no? Same way with Bharat Maharaj also. So now we will stop here. We are almost concluding the chapter. It's...